Good evening. Glad to have you with us here on our Live at Five sermon series, where simply stated, as the lesson title is, or the sermon series is, rather, it is almost 5 o'clock. We are live, and it is our goal tonight to study God's Word in its truth, in its simplicity, and we will study it here. There, I can hear myself. We're going to study this together. Now, as I mentioned this morning at the Wood Church Christ, which is where my name, Justin Reed, honored to be the pulpit minister there, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. This morning we talked about what Philip did in the city of Samaria. Philip was preaching to bring about faith, from the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 12, preach concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to talk about the basis for faith. So we've kind of singled in on faith being our key word here of the day. What I am doing is I am sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ, that way Live at 5. That way that might reach some other people that may not be seeing it on the original source. I don't really care what source you found this on. I'm just glad that you are here. Glad that you can be with us as we study God's Word together. All right, I have got, according to my notes, it is 5 o'clock. We're live. Let's study God's Word together. Join with me in the 10th chapter of Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. We'll read this as some introductory material and then get into our lesson here, a basis for faith tonight. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead." Well, friends, as we are using our lesson text here in the 10th chapter of Acts for a basis of faith, we see that Peter, the Apostle Peter, has the privilege. First, he preached the gospel to the Jews there on the day of Pentecost, which we studied in our lesson this morning, but that's found the entirety of the 2nd chapter of Acts. Here in chapter 10, Peter has the privilege of introducing the gospel to the Gentiles. Verses 30 through 34, he's talked about some supernatural events, or some supernatural events are occurring, and Peter's going to bear witness to them, verses 34 through 42, bear witness of Jesus Christ. He is testifying of what he knows to be true. Friends, there are many people in the world today, they're simply confused on how to come to a saving faith, and I hate to say it's no wonder they're confused. Why? Because some people claim they have an experience. They were touched by the hand of God, and so they claim they've been saved, yet I don't find that in the Scripture. People in the world claim that an angel appeared unto them and said, "I want you to do this and you'll be saved," yet we don't read that in the Bible. In fact, Galatians 1:8-9 says twice, "Though we are an angel from heaven preaching another gospel unto you, let him be accursed." Friends, there are some people in this world, they've noticed odd things in their lives, and so they claim that to be a miracle. Maybe they went through the McDonald's drive-thru and $3.48 was the total, and in their pocket, lo and behold, was $3.48, and then they hit three or four red lights, all green, and when they got home, their favorite television show was on. They may notice some odd things and claim that's a miracle. God is working personally in my life, and I'm saved, yet I don't find that found in the Scripture, friends. People say, you just take a leap of faith. You just blindfold yourself, just hop out, everything will be all right. No, the Bible tells us that the Bible's our guide. God says He's our guide. And friends, there are people in the world, they're confused because they say, you can't really know the truth. The Gnostics, they say, I'm so intellectually superior than you. I know that you cannot know. Well, if I can't know, how come you can know? See, the Bible says, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and that sets you free. But friends, there are many people confused on how to be saved today. Now, we know it to be true. The Bible is a record of events that have happened. It is the history of the world from literally the very beginning. It is a record of things that both men and women have witnessed. And tonight, as our basis for faith, I want us to examine four simple facts about God's Word, and let that serve, if you will, as our basis for faith. In other words, for these four things I want you and I to study, we're going to go book, chapter, and verse, not Justin Reed's opinion, but thus saith the Lord. We're going to go through these and see how these four different things, with Scripture references to back them up, can provide a basis, a starting point, if you will, for our faith. Point number one, ye have seen. We have seen. We can read about people. In fact, I'm going to put all these up here. We're going to run all these references. Go back with me to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 45 and verse 13. Let's see what it says in regards to ye have seen. Here, Joseph is telling his brothers to go back, and I need you to tell Jacob, their dad, these things. Watch this. Ye shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt, and all that you have seen. You shall haste and bring down my father hither. He says, go back home and tell daddy what you've seen, because then he'll believe. Also, 24 through the end of the chapter, so he sent his brethren away, they departed. He said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel, that's Jacob, said, it is enough. Joseph, my son's yet alive. I will go see him before I die. At first, Jacob didn't want to believe about Joseph. But they start telling him what they have seen, and he looks at the very wagon they rode home in. He believes. Go with me there to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. This is Moses making excuses at the burning bush. God has chosen, handpicked Moses to be the leader of his people. Moses making excuses because he does not want to go. He says, I can't speak well, and he makes all these excuses. Look at what the Bible says. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And he answered and said, well, it's a rod. And God said, well, cast it on the ground. So Moses cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses, being a smart man like I would do, Moses fled. He stepped back from this serpent. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and grab it by the tail. He put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod once again in his hand. God says that they might believe that the Lord God their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared unto you. You do this, they see it, they'll believe. He said furthermore, verse 6, won't you take your hand and put it into your bosom? And when he put his hand into his bosom and took it out, it was, behold, leprous, white as snow. It would have been wrinkled. It would have been falling apart. It would have been dying, his hand would have been. He said, put it into your bosom again. And he put his hand to his bosom, pulled it out. Behold, it was just like it, the old flesh was. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then they will listen to the second one. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, take water out of the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take of the river shall become blood. God gave Moses three different proofs, if you will. 29 through 31. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses, and did the signs that God had just told him to use in the sight of the people. And the people believed. When they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshipped. See, Moses said, they're not going to believe me, God, if I say if you've appeared to me, you're talking to me. And he says, I'll give you something. You do these things, he said, they'll believe. Notice what God did to the Egyptians in Exodus 19, 4 through 8. Ye have seen how that I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, you keep my commandment, my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, ye shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came, called for the people, the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Moses returned the words of the Lord, or the words of the people, unto the Lord. When the people realized all that God had done for them, they believed. Very quickly in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, 31-32, in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye come to this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. See, they were in the midst of this. At one point they believe God, and then they don't, but they're in the middle. They had seen. They had no excuse. And we also see that great point of God literally speaking from the heavens. The Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say, Exodus 20:22, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. The people would have seen that God had communicated directly to Moses there up on top of the mount. Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the mount of God, as he's receiving the Ten Commandments. You see, God says, you will see these things and the people believe. Friends, when we see these things written for us, we believe them. Now, I can't put my hand in my coat and pull it out and it become leprous, thankfully. I can't take a rod, throw it down, it become a snake, which don't know if I'd want that one either. And I can't pour out water and make it blood, but I can read of it happening. And I believe it to be true. Friends, the fact that these people saw these things and believed, that's our basis for faith. Number two this evening, though, as we talk about a basis for faith, friends, we need to realize very importantly that witnesses are to be believed. A couple of passages on this one. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Duo meaning second, onomy meaning law. Literally, this is the rehashing or the second giving of the law of Moses. Now, there is a death penalty. In fact, there are a lot of death penalties under the old law. But there is a death penalty if you were a false witness. That would ensure that witnesses would tell the truth, and therefore witnesses could be believed. Watch Deuteronomy 17:6. And this is going to be quoted in Matthew 18. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, he that is worthy of death shall be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. If they'd had a man that was worthy of death, and you were the only one that brought it before the governing body, well, they wouldn't really listen to your story. But if you saw it happen, and your neighbor, and the neighbor lived on this side of you, see, two or three witnesses, it would be established by that. Go with me to Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. One witness, Moses says, shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. But at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, that matter will be established. Two people saw it. three people saw it. Two people saw a murder. Three people saw a murder. There's a better likelihood of that actually happening than one person seeing it. A matter is established. Witness testimony is credible. Go with me there to Matthew 18. Let's move to the New Testament now. The 18th of Matthew, in verse 16, here he is quoting from the Old Testament where we just were. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. See, Jesus Christ is laying out the pattern, if you will, for church discipline. I have a problem with you. I first go to you. You don't listen to the problem. It's not a problem like I don't like you. It's a problem like you're in sin trying to help you get out of it. I go back with one or two more. That means there's either two or three people. If that doesn't work, we take your name before the church. If that doesn't work, then we're supposed to mark those which cause divisions and offenses. But friends, every word must be established. Let's see how Paul pens it in 2 Corinthians 13 and the first verse. 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. Paul says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, this thing would be established. See, you got to have witnesses, and they must be credible. Go with me there to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 19. Paul's talking about someone who is an accusation against an elder. He says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before or under two or three witnesses. See, don't do it on your own. Must have more people. And we know this to be true. You call up a lawyer. This is the standard we use in law every day. Why do you think they call witnesses to testify one way or another? Friends, this is the standard that we trust, but we need to realize that witnesses are to be believed in every case except for one, when they're false witnesses. Go with me to Mark 14, if you will. Mark 14 and verse 59. Here at the trial, actually one of the six trials of Jesus Christ, three before Jews, three before Romans, all illegal. They could not get two witnesses to agree. They finally had to pay people to lie, to perjure themselves. Notice. But neither did their witness agree together. One person says one thing, they said, I saw it and I swear to tell the truth. Another person says another, they say, I saw it and swear to tell the truth. If they don't agree, there's a problem there. That was the problem they had when they were trying to condemn Jesus Christ to death. Friends, as we're talking about our basis for faith, witnesses must be believed. That brings us to our next point. See, these are kind of building, right? We are witnesses. Notice all these verses here. Luke records in Luke chapter 24, right at the end there, Luke 24 and verse 48, Jesus Christ says, and you are witnesses of these things. He's telling his apostles as he is giving the Great Commission. He will echo a similar statement there at the first of Acts. Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus says, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And guess where the gospel started? In Jerusalem. Then they went to Judea, Acts chapter 8, Samaria, Acts chapter 8, othermost parts of the earth. Ethiopia was considered that. Jesus says, you're my witness. So notice what Peter says in Acts 2, 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Every man speaking there, preaching that sermon, was a witness of this. Acts 3, 15. Peter preaching again, killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. It's no accident, friends, who are the heavy hitters in the book of Acts. They're people who encountered Christ. Peter, Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. Notice here Acts 5 and verse 32. Peter, once again speaking, "We are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." The Holy Spirit be the ones guiding the authors. The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. We are all his witnesses. Notice that sermon to Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts. Acts 10, 39. Notice these words. We've already read it once. "We are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew, and they hanged on a tree." He says, we're witnesses of everything that he did. In fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, and Paul, and I love Paul, he gives lists. He's so good at that. It's a list of who saw Christ after he rose from the dead. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I had received, how Christ," this is the gospel, "he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection. Verse 5, "He was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, of James, all the apostles, and last of all," Paul says, "he was seen unto me as one that was born at a due time." At one point, Christ appeared to 500 brethren all at the same time. And though I love the way Paul says this. He says a majority of those are still alive. In other words, don't take my word for it. You call up so-and-so who saw Christ, he'll tell you. But look at what John says in 1 John 1, 1 through 3. He says, "I'm a witness, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard." We, John says, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled the word," Jesus Christ, "of life. For life was manifested, we have seen it. We bear witness and show you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." But notice when Peter writes, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:16, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Watch this. "But were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You know, Peter, James, John, kind of the inner three, right? Often followed Christ closest. They were at certain places, the rest weren't. John says, "I'm writing these things of what I saw, heard, looked upon, and touched." And Peter says, "I was an eyewitness of his majesty. Why don't you believe them?" As a basis for faith, we're reading words that were written by people who saw Christ and who knew Christ. You know, because Christ didn't write a book. They're all written about him. Speaking of a book, our final point is we are talking about the fact of our basis for faith, what helps us. We see that it helps us that they're recorded in a book. Go with me to the Old Testament here very quickly to 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22, and we may be skipping around in this passage because we're not going to have time to read the whole thing, but 22, starting in verse 8, "Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan, and he read it, and he brings it to the king, and brought the king word and said, Thy servants have gathered the money, and they found the book." Verse 11, "When the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes, because they weren't living, thus saith the Lord." Well, how did they know? Well, they found the book. What book? God's law. What did they do? They opened it. They read it. They believed it, and they realized that they were not living according to it. So out of their anger and frustration, they tore their clothes. Go with me to John, though. Our last reference for today in our lesson. John chapter 20, 29 through 31. In fact, at the beginning of my copy of John, I have under it which says the Gospel according to John. I wrote, why written? Question mark. See chapter 20, 29 through 31. Jesus said unto him, he's talking to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed, but blessed are they which have not seen me and yet believe. And notice how John ends this section. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Well, then why did you write, John, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. In fact, at the end of John 21, 25, he says, not everything Jesus did was written. And John says, I suppose if everything was written, the world couldn't contain all the books. But these things are written. Why, John? That you might believe. And in believing, you might have eternal life. Friends, it's so common to believe things that are written, especially those things that can be corroborated. Without this, there's no reason to research history, nor is there a reason to record court decisions. But they're written down, and the stories all line up, and they're true. Friends, we have God's Word recorded here before us tonight. In a way, 66 books, some 40 authors over about 1,600 years. Well, human authors, one spiritual author. That's God the Father acting through the Spirit. No contradictions. No, says one thing here and then changes it here. You couldn't do that with any other book. The fact that they're written in a book, we have witness testimony, it can be corroborated, friends. That is enough because these witnesses, they have seen. Our basis for faith. The Bible is, in part, a book of events. It records God interacting with mankind in miraculous ways. It records the identity of those that saw these events. It also records the corroborating witnesses. And it does all this in a way that causes us to believe in God, to believe in His Son, and to believe in His promises. It does all this in such a way that if we don't believe it, we're unreasonable. In other words, the evidence is all before us. How can we not believe? Really? I hate to say it, and we see some of this already today, but we will come to a time, friends, in years to come, when there will be some people that will deny the events of September 11, 2001, just like people deny the events of the Holocaust, deny the events of the moon landing, etc. I'm not praising any of these things, but there are people who say these events that we've lived through didn't happen. Yet, friends, there's too much testimony that's too strong to believe these events never happened. And you know what? It's even worse with the Bible. There'll be people who read through there and for years believed, and all of a sudden they became quote-unquote enlightened and thought they knew better than God, and they said this didn't actually happen. Friends, don't believe that. There's a Greek word for that. It's called hogwash. The Bible's written so that we might believe, submit to Him through obedience and baptism, and have eternal life in His name. I hope this lesson tonight has helped you get a more basis for faith, realizing why it's important to make regular Bible study, lengthy, in-depth, not just Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, hopefully Wednesday night if I make it Bible study enough. This is something that if you really want to be pleasing to God, you'll do on your own time and go to worship. If these notes could help you study or help you in any other way, they're on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. You can also Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D, Justin Reed Bible. Find them there in the notes section. The notes and the PowerPoint are all there for your convenience. Now, very quickly, I've got about a minute and a half. Would like to invite you to some future studies we have planned. Lord willing, Wednesday night will be in Romans chapter 8. a wonderful chapter, a somewhat confusing chapter to some. Lord willing, we'll get through it. This coming Wednesday night, 6:30. Thursday night, 6:30, continue Matthew 26. My father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I, we are having a great study in that. Hope you can join us for that. And go ahead and invite you a week from now, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, Wood Church Christ, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. We're going to pick back up our year-long series this coming Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, preaching sermons from the late Brother R.C. White. So, hope you can join us for that. Would you do me a favor real quick? Would you please share this video, help others get a good basis for their faith? You never know who might see it from you sharing it, somebody else sharing it. You just never know what good seed you could be sowing that you'll reap at the last day. But you can't be reaping that good seed if you don't sow it. I'd greatly appreciate that share, and I greatly appreciate your time and attention here this evening. We'll end this video the same way that we've ended every lesson in our series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for watching.